Yeah, good morning, Drip. Yeah, we in here dripping. Yes, indeed. Yeah, 3/10/2022, March 10th. Peace and love. Peace be unto you. Shalom. Assalamu alaikum. How y'all doing out there? I hope y'all making it to y'all destination. I hope you where you're supposed to be. I hope you're getting to where you need to be. You feel what I'm saying? And I just thank y'all for y'all presence today. You feel me? Life is good. When we're alive today, it's for us to be a blessing to somebody. For us to pass something on to somebody. You know, so that's what it's about. Whatever gifts and talent we got, no matter what situation you in, you got a gift and a talent. Yeah, a bum got a story to tell. You feel me? It wasn't always in that condition. So you just got to take that and improve, you know. Go learn from other people. We don't live long enough to make all the mistakes in life. We got to learn from other people. So I thank y'all for tapping into the morning drip with Suleiman Bey this morning. We're going to get rolling. I wanted to say it's real, the mental health in the community in America, period, just but in America. I remember when I used black terminology here, that's for the purpose of people that don't argue and say they're not black, and there's so many more that don't know. So I'm using that. It's the so-called black people, okay? But mental health is serious. Anxiety, depression, post-traumatic, PTSD, that's what they call it, but we call it PTSS, post-traumatic slave syndrome, hurt. Man, we sick, for real. And that's even speaking in myself. You know, you're just going through a lot of stuff in your life. Man, you under attack your whole life. You under attack this system, this apartheid system got you under attack your whole life. And you running, you in the system, you in the matrix. And they know that we stressed out. And they know it. The jails and institutions is the proof of it. The people in there are mentally, everybody's mentally, boop. That's all it is. Those are institutions. They're just institutionalizing everybody. And that's it. And then that speaks for itself. When you have more psychologists and stuff running around than anything else, then you know what you're in. You're in an institution. You're in a psychotic ward. So it's real prevalent. It's not talked about a lot. We like to be quiet a lot. Oh, man. You know, we're just dealing with it. We're coping with it. Yeah, we're coping with it. We're living with it. And we think it's normal, but it's not normal. It's affecting all our lives. It's affecting our relationships. It's affecting when we recreate. It really is. So, like, we got to get on the ball with it and catch it. I know I be having the chief. I be having to put it in the air. I have to calm my nerves. I don't know. Some people advocate for or against maybe medical marijuana. That's what they want to call it or whatever. Hey, the one thing about me, I'm an advocate for anything just going to help you, and especially something that's natural. I'm not going to argue with nobody about what can and cannot a sovereign person. Yeah, the king is sovereign. The queen is sovereign. Yeah, shit. Can't tell me what's going to harm me. No, I'm not harming you. That's what the thing is. That's when you got a problem or it's a problem. If I'm not harming you, see, that's the common law. Okay, I speed down the freeway. So what if I speed down the freeway? Did I harm you? Oh, you could have killed somebody. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Man, coulda, woulda, shoulda. That's what other instruments or stuff are in place for. If I do harm somebody, they could be taken care of. Yeah, everybody has accidents. You could go slow and have an accident. Yeah, so get out of here. So just understanding that. What does that mean? So, yeah, that just really needs to be addressed. Like, we got a lot of stress, a lot of issues going on. That will be lynched in us. We've been, got to think, y'all, this is hundreds of years of whippings. Yeah, this is hundreds of years of ass kickings. It's only about 400 years of ass kickings now. I'm talking about physical and mental, you know. So, you know, that seemed like a long time, but that's not a long time to ancients. So you got to know our position prior to that. Your position prior to that is what you're striving for. That's what you're striving for, man. You got to come out of that, man. We're not Negroes. We ain't black folks. We ain't colored folks. We ain't African Americans. Man, Africa is a continent. And that's a continent name. That's a corporate name. As a matter of fact, if you want to be truthful about it, in America is a whole continent. It's North, Central, and South. So what are you? You know, so come on now. We got to get it together. So this demonstration here today that we're going to get into on cooperative federalism today by the author name is Gerald Brown. And we're going to get into what the United States is and what the states is, okay, and what's not. All right, we're going to get into that and understand that because this has tax implications, okay, for you all. You keep thinking you're going to be taxed. Okay, well, yeah, U.S. citizens are taxed, but what is a U.S. citizen and what is the U.S.? Okay, what is the U.S.? All right, what does it mean? So we're going to get into that stuff. Then you're going to start seeing when you start reading the Internal Revenue Code and stuff, it's going to define what the U.S. is. And it's going to define the U.S. as D.C., your nation's capital. That's what they call it. That's what they always say, put it in your mind. But that's the only, that's the core, that's it. That 10 square miles right there, that's the United States. And it's territories. It has territories. Its territories are the other four corporations, which is Guam, Puerto Rico, American Samoa, Guam, Puerto Rico, American Samoa, and the Virgin Islands, okay? Those are the territory. Now, it's enclaves. They have military forts. They have jurisdiction over military forts, military base erections like that. And where the state capital is, inside of the state, where the capital is, that's where they have jurisdiction at. That's okay. Remember, they have agreement here to do commerce. They are trading posts. All these spots are trading posts. That's where they have jurisdiction over the trading folks. So y'all got to understand that. All right. So if you go into, this is from the Constitution right here. This is Section 1. You should all remember this. Section 1, Clause 1. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution. I just know it in my head, so I wasn't trying to look at it to say it. Okay. So it's Article 1. Section 8, Clause 17, and it says, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may, by cession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of the government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislator of the state, in which the same shall be, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. See, it just describes to you what the United States is. The seat of power, the seat of government of the United States is what? 10 square miles, the district, and the forts that it has, and the state buildings. So what I just told you, the state, whatever state capital is, that's the state building that they have. Okay, that's their jurisdiction, and the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. So that's like your National Guards and all that type of building. That's their jurisdiction. The states are sovereign, Jack. Yeah, get out of here. The states are sovereign. Huh. Well, why? Well, prove it, Suleiman Bey. Well, hell, it's a federal law about growing or smoking a weed or whatever you call it. Hell, but the states individually could do what they want. Huh. You see that for yourself. Some states do and some states don't. They have the option to. Because why? They sovereign. They created the federal government. The federal government don't supersede them. Yeah, you on the morning drip with Suleiman Bey, Blog Talk Radio. Hey, going over to Instagram at Illegal Empowerment Group and check us out on them do-it-yourself e-books. And we're going to come out with a pow-yow, with a fire, all you can eat, like the Fat Boys. Remember them, the Fat Boys back in the day? Yeah, all you can eat. We're going to come out with a book, just go walk you through it from A to Z on business formation. And if you do it according to the book, man, the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. We're going to give you the key to where you come off the press where they're giving you money. See, that's what people don't understand about business. It's cool. You know that you can bring money in. Everybody know that. That's what you want to do. You know you could get some money. You could get to the bag. I ain't talking about that, man. That takes forever. Yeah, you got to build up and come. I'm talking about building something off the press. They give you some money for what you created. Yeah, they finance you because you created it so good. It's so beautiful. It has all the details that it needs, all the requirements that it needs. to fit the criteria of the banking cartel. Yeah, so it could go get the money. So you can walk in and present that check. On the other flip side, the other people that already got that same business and they've been on the ground with a physical business but don't have all the ins and outs, don't know about certain discriminatory practice that's keeping them from receiving money, even location and all that, and they go to get applied and can't get nothing. You see, so they've been doing it for years. They got a physical business, got everything, but they can't go get no money because they didn't set their business up to be funded. They just went, got an EIN, and then went to the state and got a state certified with the state, and now boom, I'm going to do business. Man, but your business, you created your business. Your business is supposed to bring you money. That's just like people get money and they just put it away or put it in the bank. Man, you don't make no money off that. Man, that money is garbage. You want to take that money and turn that money into an asset. Yeah, because the money ain't an asset. The money is garbage. You want to take that money, guns and butter, baby. Take that money and turn it into an asset. So check us out at Instagram at Legal Empowerment Group. We're going to come out with this this business formation for fundability book from A to Z. Like, people be giving you bits and pieces and tell you this and pay that. We're going to have one book. Bow, bow. Just break bread on that. And it's going to walk you all the way through. I'm talking about everything from how to eliminate the banking system because it's a depository, how to set it up, how to set your business up with different locations and different little tips, tips if you're married or not. You feel me, where you could double your wealth. Yeah, we're going to have it. We're going to have this. This is going to be real nice. So go, like I said, to Instagram at Legal Empowerment Group, and go check our website out at legalempowermentgroup101.com. And also help out the nonprofit one there. We got two chapters, one in California, one in Texas, and they do be out there in them trucks, and they do be getting out there to them hoods. Dropping off them boxes, whatever they get. If they get food, through Amazon's or whoever they get it from, they get food, furniture, whatever. They go out there and they donate it. So that's how that go. And that's at health.info, and that's the word health, like health care, and you have to spell out the word with dashes in between it because that's the way the website is. So it's health.info. That's health with the dash in between each word .info for your donations. And it's 100% tax deductible. So those are the things. Oh, people, blacks don't like to give other Negroes nothing. I ain't giving them Negroes nothing. They ain't going to do but go spend it or do this and that. That's not your business. Really, when you're giving something from your heart to somebody, you don't care what somebody giving to it. That's what be wrong with the baby daddies. Yeah, you worried about what your baby mama, what she go spend it on. She been taking care of them. If she go spend it on her nails, she might need her nails done. Hell, to get to something else, to go be presentable for your child. Hell, it costs. Y'all don't understand that. What's she going to spend it on? She's spending money and care on that baby every day, 24/7, 365. Man, that little change you come around and try to give every now and then, that ain't nothing. Yeah, and people want to complain. You can't be daddies like that. No, you got to call and be in their lives and everything. If you can't be around monetarily, if you can't be around physically, you got to at least be in their presence. Talk to them, drill it in. You got to drill the truth in. I am he and you are you. And hey, how you doing? It's love, peace. You got to talk to them. Nobody should be able to get in the way of that. Nothing should stop you from doing that. And that's one thing I can say about myself. I never let nothing stop that, no matter my travel and my affairs. And we'll be there. I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there. And don't forget to check out Ms. Tebe at queenkitty.net for the feminine hygiene lines. And if you need that snapback, that get back, they do got some gel in there that had that thing. Yeah, it had that thing. Yeah, don't believe the hype. Okay, go try it out there. You got a discount coming. If you tell them that you ordering and you heard it from Blog Talk Radio, Suleiman Bey, I got a discount coming for you. Yeah, so go to queenkitty.net. That's queen, K-I-T-T-Y, .net, and queenkitty at Instagram. Okay. So, at the end of the show, I'm going to get into these hadiths from the prophet, because we did have a prophet come to these shores, and I can prove it to you because everybody's moving and grooving off of his tune, and we'll get to that at the end of the show because I want to keep you interested on what we got before you right here. But this is the interesting reading, and I came across this, and I read this, and I said, this is something that you have to understand. It's called cooperative federalism. It's authored by Gerald Brown, EDD. Okay. Introduction. Dr. Gerald Brown is a co-author of In Their Own Words, a 450-page resource book compiled exclusively of extracts from federal and state authorities, establishing the jurisdictional authority of the federal and state governments. Let me get my gargles out, my glasses, my reading lenses. Okay. The book draws special attention to the issues of sovereignty, citizenship, the construction and interpretation of law, federal taxation, and remedies for the innocent. All cases were shepherdized prior to publication for timeliness and currency. Nearly all the citations in this essay can be found in that book. Give me a little water, because I'm cotton mouth, y'all. All right. This is very important, y'all. This is very important. If you ain't going to read it yourself, I'm going to read it to you. This is very important. As long as we ain't going to be able to finish it all today, we're going to get into the basis of this so we can lay down the basis of foundation for you getting taxed without representation. You ain't even supposed to be taxed. Indigenous not taxed. Okay. Cooperative federalism. How the states of the union are separate, distinct, and foreign to the United States. I didn't make this up, y'all. You can go get it. Okay. Things are not as they seem in American history and law. Most often, people speak and write as if America is one country operating under one government that has plenary authority throughout a single nation. Most often, people speak and write under the notion that any government in America, whether it be local, state, or federal, is all part of one gigantic system. The federal government is often described as both a national government and a central government. It is sometimes described as an umbrella government over the states. Conversely, the states are typically described as regions of subdivisions of the United States. History textbooks in schools and colleges, news to common circulation, and other forms of media tell stories that lead one to believe that federal law supersedes state law because federal law is the law of the land and nation, and thus state law must yield to the higher authority. Y'all got to excuse me. But I still got some sickness in me, and I ain't going to fake it and hide it. If you be faking and hide it, everybody got something going on around here. They got warfare in the air. But I stay at home and be busy, but I do have something in me, so excuse me. get a little water more. Okay, so it just said the thing. It said people think this federal is the law of the land, and it supersedes the states. That's what they're saying. That, okay. The problem with all this is that none of it is accurate or true to our American heritage. Every one of these positions is based on an assumed premise that is false. The result is that the American people are deceived regarding the proper role these governments are to have in their lives and accuses to government requests when the agents of government have no lawful authority to make the request. So you wonder why people be saying, I don't need no driver's license. I don't need this. Why are they out there tripping? They think they're above the law. They do need one. Okay. From its beginning, the federal government was designed to be a government of limited jurisdiction for specific enumerated purposes and not one of plenary jurisdiction over all of American society. The passion for individual liberty the founding fathers had is reflected in the design of the federal government as a government of limited authority that would not interfere in the lives of Americans, but would promote and protect personal liberty. And let's get this understood, y'all. You better go back to the older dictionaries, the old unabridged, old world dictionaries, 1800s and stuff, and look up what American is. And it's going to tell you one of the copper-skinned people, aboriginals here in the Americas. All right? All right. It's going to tell you one of the copper-skinned, okay, one of the darkies. Y'all talking about what happened, why these blacks getting held down? Because they done blackballed us out of our heritage over here. This is our land. They told us that in the songs they made us sing in school. This land is your land. This land is my land. My country, tis of thee, and all this. Sweet land of liberty. Yeah, one nation under God. Yeah, okay. For decades, we Americans have been slowly, unwittingly, and nearly imperceptibly surrendering our unalienable rights to our federal government in many ways. This has allowed the government to grow into a huge, unwieldy machine in its behavior back towards the citizens of the states. In turn, In turn, each of the states exercised power over its people not authorized by fundamental law. Those in control of the machinery of government seemed to be more interested in building the empire of government than in protecting and promoting the personal liberties upon which American society was founded and upon which it has flourished. Because we have lost sight of the nature of the relationship between the federal and state governments and the limited authority each possess, our individual rights and liberties have been trampled on. Listen, y'all, Americans are routinely coerced into doing things that fundamental law does not require, and both property and freedoms are being threatened and lost. Man, so many of us, Pharaoh, let my people go. So many of us are enslaved and trapped in prison because we don't understand the difference between federal and state, between a U.S. citizen and a state citizen, and you bogusly, fraudulently, a 14th Amendment citizen and then fraudulently put in prison. Don't matter what they say you did. It's a matter of what the label that they put you in prison under. All your arrest warrants, all your paperwork say black, Negro, color, just like the birth certificate do. That's fraudulent. That's denationalization. That's crimes against humanity. Find your way out, y'all. Okay? This essay is a brief, and that for the people that think you free, if you under the same thing, you're a 14th Amendment citizen, you run around talking, you're a U.S. citizen, you're a 14th Amendment citizen, and you keep seeing why you got to pay all these extortion fees and fine, and come to find out you Aboriginal, Indigenous, not taxed, is because of the same reason. You in bondage, you in slavery, according to the 13th Amendment, which doesn't apply to a natural person anyway. Talking about some freed the slaves. No, the institution of slavery was freed. You wasn't supposed to never put no human being in bondage anyway. Flesh and blood people ain't supposed to be bound down anyway. If they did that, they did that to themselves. They must have lost their own way. So somebody could put you in slavery. So if they can enslave you and say they release you, then they could put you in slavery again. That's the only way they could do that is through the mind. So the 13th Amendment abolished the slavery and involuntary servitude and slavery except for crime. So who the number one people in slavery? Blacks. So who the number one people in the prison? Blacks and browns. So slavery just been transferred throughout the Union into the prisons. Okay, excuse me, we move along. And I'm going to definitely have to go to the restroom in a second. Oh, this water. Keeping my throat right. Okay. This essay is a brief outline of some of the legal aspects of early American history, the stepwise progress of how the United States government came into existence, the relationship between the states of the Union and the United States government as recorded in historical documents and court cases, and how it all applies to us today in the principle of cooperative federalism. You see how they say that? The states of the Union and the United States government, because we always say United States, and we think that means all the states. The state sovereign, y'all, which we're going to see. I will show that the states of the Union existed before the United States government, that the people of the states created the United States government as a federal government, not as a national government, and that the United States government has limited authority within any of the states of the Union. I will provide, in summary format, the dominant features of cooperative federalism as it is designed to operate in the American experience. My purpose is to expose the fallacy of the assumed premise that the federal government is superior to the states of the Union, that federal law supersedes state law, and that the United States of America is one nation. And listen, y'all, of course, that this has strong implications with respect to the issues related to federal authority within the 50 states of the Union on any topic of law, especially imprisonment. I begin by establishing the context and setting the foundation as to why the states of the Union are nations and how they are separate, distinct, and even foreign to the United States. So hold on, y'all. If they foreign to the states, if they telling you that they are foreign to the United States, then how is it that we not foreign to the United States? If all 50 states are foreign to the United States by law, how is it that we're not foreign to the United States? We're saying we're United States citizens. And it just showed you the distinction that the United States Union is different from the state union is different from the United States. And another thing, a free black, Negro, or colored, free or slave, can never be a citizen in the European Union. So how is it that you say you're a United States citizen? That's on the books. I got to use it to take a quick restroom call because that water going through me. So y'all give me a quick second, and I'll be right back to finish this off. Yeah, you can be a citizen. You can be a citizen. The Dred Scott case showed you that. It's still on the books. 1871, 1856, I believe. Dred Scott case, Dred Scott versus Stanford, still on the books. Whether free or slave, you can never be a citizen of their union. It's a European union. It's for Europeans only. But you are free because this land is your land. So let me put this on this real quick, and I'll give us a little tunes. And I'll be right back. Okay, and we return. Okay, so let me get back over here to this. Okay, so now it says, I understand the disbelief and frustration many folks display with the position I express when I say that the states of the Union are separate, distinct, and foreign to the United States. When I first began my search for truth in this legal jungle, my mind was clouded with the rhetoric of the history textbooks and media jargon. I believe that fundamentally, the disbelief is based on the popular notion, which this current generation has very effectively been taught, the rhetoric that the United States is one nation under God, when in fact, the United States of America is a collection of nations banded together for a common purpose. Because historians, politicians, journalists, and others are fond of referring to the mass of American society as a nation, it is not well understood that the federal government has only limited authority that is separate, distinct, and foreign to the states of the Union. That the United States is separate, distinct, and foreign to the states of the Union is the basis for cooperative federalism in America and is a most fundamental part of our history and law. And it shows up in myriad ways, which we often overlook. To understand this, one needs to go back in time to gain an overview of these issues. Okay, here we go. See? Man, if you can free yourself, man, it's right in the laws. The Prophet Noble Drew Ali said, the same thing that got you in, it gets you out. You got to go through the fire to get out the fire. Yeah, you got to go through it. That's the only thing about it. You got to go through the fire. You go come out. Mm-hmm. Colonies become sovereign nations. Here you go. Let me pull this up a little more bigger so I can just flow. So colonies become sovereign nations. Prior to the Declaration of Independence, there was no general government among the colonies connecting one colony to any other save the relationship each had to the British Crown. Each colony was established according to the terms of its own charter, and its officials answered directly to the British government accordingly. The Declaration of Independence sought to terminate that relationship for each American colony. While the Declaration was worked out in a General Congress with representatives from each of the colonies, it did not create a general government nor a formal confederation among the newly declared states. Listen, the Declaration of Independence begins with a statement regarding the authority of governments to exist and claims that this authority is founded on God's approval and on the consent of the governed. The authors continue to cite truisms about the nature of man and society, but offer not the slightest legal basis for any of their declarations, claiming rather that their statements are self-evident. The majority of the document consists of a listing of claims that the king had abused the colonists by heavy-handed ways. All this builds to the final paragraph where the Declaration for Independence is actually made. This culminating paragraph sets out the nature of these newly declared political claims, to wit, here it goes. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right are to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, I, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. Hey, and before we go any further, just to let you know, they try to falsify in history and say, oh, these other people recognized them first before the Moors. No, Morocco was the first ones to recognize these people and then put it in treaty form, and it subsequently to Morocco recognizing them, the other day was eventually allowed into the nation. They weren't recognized. You see, they had to declare. You see, they trying to declare they were the British colonies. See, they didn't have no sovereignty. See, and Morocco said, okay, yeah, we recognize them and did a treaty with them. See, which allow them and then and finance them for their to get their independence from the crown. They owe a great debt to the Moors and the descendants of Morocco. Y'all better trust y'all blood lineage. Quit trying to run from it and get paid. Okay. The Declaration of Independence does not pretend to create a single nation. If it did, its name should be the State of New Britain or the State of America or the State of the New World or any other name representing a single entity. But the proper name of our political arrangement is in the plural, not the singular. Also, the Declaration of Independence did not create a name for this alliance of American states. That came 2 years later with the Articles of Confederation, which you need to go get and read and study. At the time of the Declaration, these American states were united in purpose and action to be free and independent of British rule first, perhaps, but free and independent of each other as well. By referring to Great Britain as a state, this paragraph tells us that the founding fathers understood a state to have the same status as a nation on the world scene. It is common to refer to Great Britain as a nation or a country, but most Americans are surprised to notice that Great Britain is a state. The first legal document in American history uses precisely that language. Under international law, as well as American law, the words state and nation mean exactly the same thing. They're synonymous. Each state in our union has its own constitution. Check, correct, your state got its own flag and its own constitution, its own land over which it exercises jurisdiction, its own citizens, its own legislative, executive, and judicial branches of government, police powers, prison system, and military. Both the state's militia and the National Guard are under the control of the governor of the state as commander-in-chief. And let's stop right there, because the Constitution, and I used to read that all the time in the Constitution said each state in the Republic has a militia. See, in the Republic, they got a militia. It just told you that. Where is it? Because you don't hear about it. You all know about the National Guard in your state. What about this militia? Where they at? Where they trained at? What they trained for? Are you ready? Man, history repeats itself, y'all. Man, they done put their own people in the oven. They done put diseases on blankets. They done slaughtered whole continents. Yeah, we in the occupation. We at home. We not from Europe. History repeats itself. Got these big old buildings being created, these Amazons and stuff. Y'all better wake up. Better declare, proclaim, as the prophet said, came and told us. If you don't do nothing else, proclaim, declare. Let your people, let them know. Let your own people know, your own government know, let the world know. Because in these days, that's all they going by. If you ain't got a seat at the table, Donald Trump, I quote, he the coldest gangster I heard say it, because he was talking that street talk, that real gangster talk. He said, it's safe to assume that if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu. Yeah, so we don't got a seat at the table at the UN with all the other nations and the flags to represent their sword or where they're from. We're represented by the United States. And the United States is the district. It's the District of Columbia. It ain't even the 50 states, as you go to continue to see. So let's continue. Okay. At the inception, each of the states issued its own money and had tariff laws, which operated on the importation of goods from each of the other states as well as from states outside of American society. Of course, if we start to think about it, we hear from time to time on the news today about the state of Israel, as well as the periodic gathering of the representatives of the G8 states or the G8 summit. These G8 states are not Tennessee, New York, California, or the states of the Union or subdivision of some larger entity. These states are the industrial and economic powerhouses of the world: France, Great Britain, Germany, Japan, etc. These nations are identified at the United Nations as member states. Thus, it is perfectly within the proper usage of the term state and nation to conclude that the Declaration of Independence created not one, but 13 brand new nations or countries. 13. Let me see where my time at, because I might have to extend that. Okay. The U.S. Supreme Court stated in the case of the Cherokee Nation versus the state of Georgia, 30 U.S. 1, 8 led 25, 1831, that the terms state and nation are used in the law of nations, as well as in the common parlance, as importing the same thing. Thus, the state of Delaware is a nation. The state of Pennsylvania is a nation. The state of New Jersey is a nation. The state of Georgia is a nation. The state of Connecticut is a nation, and so on. Each of the newly declared American states is a nation that is separate, distinct, and foreign to each other's, as well as all other nations of the world. See, we foreign, y'all. We aliens. The claim to a change in status of being equal to the state of Great Britain, as opposed to being a dominion or a canton of the British realm, was precisely what led to the American Revolution, and it is the character which all states of the Union possess. So they went to war about their freedom, okay? Okay, let's keep going. Oh, excuse me. It is popular in some quarters today to think that Congress has the authority to create states, but that notion is not true to our history and law. Notice the following explanation in Chisholm, Esquire versus Georgia, February 1794, from the U.S. Supreme Court. A state does not owe its origin to the government of the United States in the highest or any of its branches. It was in existence before it. It derives its authority from the same pure and sacred source as itself: the voluntary and deliberate choice of the people. A state is altogether exempt from the jurisdiction of the courts of the United States or from any other exterior authority, unless in the special instances where the general government has power derived from the Constitution itself. Right, limited, y'all, page 448. The question to be determined is whether this state, so respectable and whose claims soar so high, is amendable to the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court of the United States. This question, important in itself, would depend on others, more important still, and may perhaps be ultimately resolved into one, no less radical than this: do the people of the United States form a nation? That's a question. By that law, the several states and governments spread over our globe are considered as forming a society, not a nation. Italics and caps arisen. Chisholm, excerpt versus Georgia, Esquire, 2 Dallas, 419, 1 led. 440, 1794. And you might say, oh, that's an old case. People always say that. Man, if it ain't overturned, if the case ain't overturned in the Supreme Court, man, it's on the books, man. Just like Dred Scott. It's, oh, well, the 14th Amendment overturned that. Did they overturn the case? Did another case come over and supersede that case and throw it out? If it didn't, then that's what's on the books, man. Get out of here. You could tell people, some people, yeah, anything, but you can't tell all the people everything. That's how they go. Bob Marley, huh? Here the U.S. Supreme Court informs us that our political arrangement of cooperative federalism does not make a nation, but rather a society. While the people of the several states share many things in common, each state retains its national character and political independence. Just a few years later, the Supreme Court further stated in a landmark case dealing with the authority of a state to levy a tax on the operation of the United States within the state of Maryland, no political dreamer was ever wild enough to think of breaking down the lines which separate the states and of compounding the American people into one common mass. M. Kalash versus the State of Maryland, et al., 17 U.S., 4 Wheat, 316, 4 Lead, 579, 819. It says, how times have changed. As we look around today, it appears that many political dreamers have been wild enough to attempt exactly what the Supreme Court justices in 189 never dreamed could be possible. But it is historically and politically incorrect, as well as contrary to the determination of the U.S. Supreme Court, to refer to American society as a nation or a country. It is proper to refer to the American political alliance as a society. Okay, now we go on to the alliance that made the United States of America. Now we should get into these constitutional articles. Okay, the alliance that made the United States of America. At the Declaration of Independence and the call to arms that immediately followed, it was widely believed that the colonists could not prevail against the British military power unless patriots throughout the states were to work in concert with each other. To bring about such cooperations, the Articles of Confederation were proposed in 1778, 2 years after the Declaration of Independence was made. That's when it was financed. More, huh? The loose association that characterized the general cooperation among the people of the states began to change as the newly declared nations began to ratify the Articles of Confederation. Article 1 is the first instance where the American Confederation was formalized with a title which names this alliance the United States of America. Article 2 preserves the sovereignty and independence of each state, to wit. Article 1, the style of this confederacy shall be the United States of America. Article 2, each state retains its sovereignty, freedom, and independence, and every power, jurisdiction, and right which is not by this confederation expressly delegated to the United States and Congress assembled. Articles of Confederation, 1778. So see, that's why you got to get these instruments. You got to read these documents and get your Constitution out and read so you can see. Through the Articles of Confederation, the Founding Fathers recognized that each state was sovereign and independent of each other, and that while the Declaration of Independence expressed the collective will of the people of the American states united in purpose and action, that document did not attempt to create a single unified government with one jurisdiction. It merely recognized the several governments that were already in existence, and it did not create a federal government. Here can be seen that the United States of America is an alliance of nations that are separate, distinct, independent, and foreign to each other, and do not make one nation under God, as stated in the Pledge of Allegiance, which was written many years later. The United States of America is an alliance of nations whose people have banded together in a political pact for a common, not national, purpose. The United States of America is a confederation of sovereign states, not a consolidation of subject states into a single nation. I mean, they ain't subject to the federal government. They created the federal government. So why are y'all paying taxes now? Come on now. You got to come out of this citizenship now, the United States citizenship now. Don't be afraid thinking, oh, I'm saying no. You from the soil. There's a lot of things you got to correct. Saying you black is one of them. Got to correct a lot of stuff now. Come on now. German Shepherd, the German Shepherd, no matter where it go now. He keep changing my names. Okay. This relationship, let me see something. Okay. This relationship is not just an interesting fact of history, it is current law. The Index of the California Family Law Code, established 1994, for the entry foreign law, directs the reader to the statutes regarding extradition. There one will find annotated references to foreign jurisdictions. Interestingly, cases from Ohio, Pennsylvania, Missouri, and other states of the Union are the only cases referenced as foreign law. The Index to the California Education Code for the Entry in Laws has the subheading Death in Foreign States, Leave of Absence, and references EDUC 44985. The only language in that code section that comes close to supporting the concept of foreign states is the phrase out-of-state travel. Thus, anything outside California is foreign to California. Since all the states in the Union have the same status with respect to each other, this principle applies to every state of the Union. Each state in the Union is separately distinct and foreign to every other, as the laws of one state do not operate within the borders of any other state. That's why I say you can smoke that bud in one state, you might can't smoke that bud in another state. Yeah, you might have an open container in one state, you might can't have another state. See, you understand it? And by the way, when you was pledged allegiance to the red, white, and blue flag, that's in all the states. That was the union that they made more perfect. They made the slavery system throughout all 50 states. But in each state, you still, when you was pledging allegiance, had another flag right on the side. But nobody asked about pledging allegiance to that flag. They didn't want you to know about that. They didn't want you pledging allegiance to that now. That's where you stand at. That's where your birthrights are at. You would have been at home then, because then you really would have been saying this land is your land, my land, because you would have been getting all the royalties for what they pulling out the earth. Okay, so it says, while the Articles of Confederation were proposed in 1778, they were not ratified by all 13 states until 1781, mainly because of issues involving the status of Western lands. See, they hadn't even got West yet. Upon ratification, Congress was authorized to survey the Western Territory by the Land Act of 1785. The Ordinance of 1787 provided for the government of the Northwest Territory, the first territorial government created by the United States. Because this land was not within any state, it was under the collective control of all the states of the Union through Congress. This model has been used by Congress and later the federal government throughout American history for establishing territorial governments in any of the territories belonging to America. There are currently 22 such territories. A complete list of these can be found in the Domestic Mail Manual. The most notable among these are American Samoa, Guam, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and Northern Mariana Islands. Right, those are the territories in possession of the United States. Just as the Northwest Territory did not have its own sovereignty, so these territories do not have sovereignty. And who the land belonged to, y'all? Remember that. They doing business on top of the land. Even if they sell you some property or land, they doing land on top of the land. Hey man, when you a chief and you got a whole, just say you got a hundred million acres. What you gonna do with all that? You can't cultivate. All you can do is let people work it. You getting rich off people working. People are erecting communities. But underneath it, you are the they're paying you. If you go to Russia and you build up something, you're paying somebody's forefathers for that land. The rest of somebody is of Russian descent. That's their ancestors' land. So all the coal, all the minerals, all the stuff that they're pulling off the land, you're getting royalties for that, for all the corporations that's going in there and pulling out of that. You don't mind doing business on top of your monopoly board. Because you got all this stuff. Everything that they put out and got to go put a claim down, because they got to put a claim down to mine it and turn it into what they want to do and make money off of it, they're going to have to pay you. So as the train rolls by, everything coming out, you getting paid. Then you could just sit back on your reservation or whatever you want to call it, sit back on your land and chill. Man, so listen, man. You're on Blog Talk Radio, The Morning Drip with Suleiman Bey. Hey, Instagram and Legal Empowerment Group for the do-it-yourself kits. We're going to get it all out. I'm telling you, we're going to war, y'all. All out book to go bring you to wealth, to prominence, in the business affair. All the mistakes that we made, you're not going to be able to make them. You're going to be able, for the book price, you're going to be able to create you a $250,000 business, a $500,000 business, $1 million business, depending on how many layers you want to put on it. But the blueprint going to be there. It's going to be way better than have you ever been taught to create it before, because it's going to be double that. And it's going to be coming off the press ringing, where they're going to be ring, ding, dong, ring, ding, 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 dong. Keep your head ringing. They will give you that bag. They will give you the bag for your business. See, everybody, okay, you're going to get it. It's cool. Like I said, you got a business, you can go out and get it. You know you're a hustler, you can go get it, but that ain't what this is about. It's about business formation, to where you form a business on paper so immaculately, the immaculate conception, the immaculate birth, so beautifully that they fund you with money, that you set up everything, the banking things you need, everything is set up according to the T, how they want to set it up, and for you to get financed. Because America, as you see, was created off being financed. They was financed to win the war. You know, they're doing business here. They was financed. okay? Everything is about borrowing, debits and credits. So listen, let me see how much of that, how much more of that. Right, Congress, okay. So we got, let me spread this just a little bit so we'll be safe so I can make sure you guys conclude it. I have to stress that. Okay, why Congress? We're going to have to stress that time out some. So again, go over to Legal Instagram or Legal Empowerment Group and LegalEmpowermentGroup101.com for the website. If you anything you hear on the show and the archives that you want to know about, you want more information on, leave your information, man. Hit us up, man. We will work with you. We'll show pass on the information. So we're coming out with the All You Can Tell book about business formation to get funded. And then for the donations to the nonprofit, the 501c3, Helping Earth Acquire Life Through Humanity, chapters in California and Texas with trucks in both states, and AA is moving and grooving, and that's at health.info, that's the word health like healthcare, and that's h-e-a-l-t-h.info. And for your feminine hygiene product line, don't forget to check out Miss Tay Bay at queenkitty.net. That's queenkitty.net, and that's Queen Kitty at Instagram. Yeah, so follow us, man, and support us here, support us there, support us everywhere, because we're moving and grooving, and we keep you in tune. And we have the prison reform efforts that we do have going on, and not reform. We're talking about abolishing it, getting the prison diminished, getting it out of there. Let our people go, Pharaoh. You're holding them illegally. Yeah, you're holding them a little illegally because of the black codes that you got them under, the Christian black codes, that the black tags, you made us black. Christian black codes of 1724. Google that, y'all. Christian black codes of 1724. The black codes you got us under, the black tags, the Negro tags, the white tags, the Indian tags, the property tags that you got coined and copyrighted, that you put in all these statutes and codes and rules under that don't apply to flesh and blood persons. Natural persons, you put it on because it applies to artificial persons, and by way of the flu flangery, by putting saying that just making us citizens, man, we're not citizens of, because you're foreign. How can we be a citizen of a foreign state and we at home? See, that don't make sense. We got to wake up. We are all this, they're foreign to each other and all the states foreign. So we definitely foreign, but we at home. So everybody is foreign to each other. We all know that, but we at home. So we're not the foreign. All of us are weird. We're from around here. You feel me? So everybody else, we're foreign to them. So it's just foreign affairs. That's what you're supposed to have, treaties and stuff in place so we can have immaculate foreign affairs. That's why it's codes and stuff in place to do, for descendants of Moors not to be molested and harmed. That's why you can see certain dudes getting pulled over. They might don't know how to act. They might act the wrong way, the one they show, and they showing their flag, and they get on about their way, and the police don't mess with them. But there's stuff in place where they're going to treat you right if you know how to uphold yourself. They pull you over. Obviously, more than likely, you might have did something. Or they a lot of times, you might not have did something. Say it's your license plates or whatever it is. But you just got to know how to address, know how to present yourself. Don't let them represent you. Don't let them question you. You question them. That's what it's about, because you know that you're the superior, you're the authority. We the people, you put them in power. They're servants, public servants. They took an oath to the Constitution. People quit saying that, oh, my constitutional rights, you don't have no rights. The Constitution didn't give you the grant rights to nobody. The Constitution protects the rights that you already have, the unalienable and inalienable rights that you already have from birth, your natural rights. That's what it does. It's a saving power. It protects, but the Constitution was established for servants and subjects. Yeah, for slaves and subjects. Yeah, for the corporations. Yeah, that's what it was set up for. So that's why all the employees of that is bound to it. And that's what the tax laws are for. People who are in the district and employees of the federal government. That's what the tax laws for. If you're in the United States, now the United States is the district, because that's what it tells us. They reading us this, but that's what it tells us. It tells us in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square, as may, by cession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of the government of the United States. 10 square miles, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, I mean the state capitals, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, your National Guards, dockyards, and other needful buildings. That's what the United States is. The United is the District of Columbia, 10 square miles, and they have jurisdiction over those buildings, the military forts, all the stuff that they need for that, and all the territories, the Northern Mariana Islands, the Guam, you know, they just talked about it, all those things. That's what they have jurisdiction over, not over the 50 states and their citizens. Okay? So it says, why Congress? Why did the Founding Fathers choose the name Congress as the name of the political body where the representatives from the several states would meet to work out their differences? They could have called their meeting a parliament, an assembly, a forum, a convention, the United States legislature, or possibly something else. But why did they select the name Congress as the name for their meeting place? Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition, 1951, page 371 defines Congress as, listen, you studying in your houses, you need Black's Law Dictionary, the older the better. The fourth edition, they say the fourth edition and lower is the best. When you start going up above that, they start retranslating, just like their Bible. They will start retranslating, y'all. I don't mean to throw no shade at nobody, but they just start retranslating. Yeah, when man starts retranslating and getting in the way, it's failure go come along, okay? But they putting the hook, the flung-flangery into changing up stuff now. But you got to go back to its origin, because that's when all this stuff was written, how they was formed under the old law and all these stuff. Yes, but you got to get the books from there. And it costs, but you got to get them in your house. And you got a Constitution in your house, and Article of Confederation in your house, and other books and stuff in your house to learn, to find out who you are and who you're not. And what that means, if you don't know the law, then how you know if the law is being placed on you or if somebody just taxing you for nothing? You might just begin taxing. They don't got to be taxed. They always say tax with taxation without representation. Now you know what it means. Keep following along. Okay. So let's define Congress according to Black's Law, 4th edition, 1951, page 373. Congress, in international law, an assembly of envoys, commissioners, deputies, etc., from different sovereignties who meet to concert measures for their common good or to adjust their mutual concerns. Let me say that again, because people, they've been sovereign people. See, y'all don't get it. They don't want you to know stuff that's going to make you free, because you're not free. You think you're free, because we's got a house. Oh, we's on rims. We got a car. We got some paper money. You're not free. I'd rather be living low and going through the struggle until I figure everything out, how to be king of my own throne, to the stay in the slave system. Amen. Alhamdulillah. Hallelujah to that. Now, I'm going to keep reading to you. Again, Congress. In international law, an assembly of envoys, commissioners, deputies, etc., from different sovereignties who meet to concert measures for their common good or to adjust their mutual concerns. In American law, the Legislative Assembly of the United States, composed of the Senate and House of Representatives. Okay, quiz, the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 1. Congress, the legislative body of the United States, is a place where representatives from different sovereignties, that is, the sovereign states of the Union, meet to work out problems for their common good. Thus, the very word Congress, as embodied within it, the concept that the sovereignty of any one state is separate, distinct, and foreign to the sovereignty and jurisdiction of every other state in the Union. However, while the Articles of Confederation recognized a Congress, the solutions proposed and agreed to there were not binding on the states, and each state was left to decide to what extent it would comply with the solutions worked out in Congress. Although historians love to refer to this arrangement as a weak central government or weak national government without the executive and judicial branches of government, in reality, there was no central or national government that applied to the states collectively. Congress was only a forum where issues could be discussed and solutions proposed, and it was up to the states to accept, reject, or modify the solutions as each in its sovereign wisdoms saw fit. You see what I'm talking about? The Articles of Confederation served to keep the states bound together in union, but they did not make the states subservient to Congress. That means they not under Congress authority and rule. Huh? They and authorize Congress. They send their representatives to create Congress because they're sovereign. In each one of their sovereign capacities, these representatives and these House members meet up to discuss and their affairs, to propose, make proposals. And the states, the people can reject that. So understand who got Public Enemy said it in the 80s. Fight the power. Yeah, fight the power. Fight the power. That be. We would just sleep. We couldn't even, we was too dumbed down still for that. It wasn't the Aquarian age yet. It wasn't the time for the awakening for that yet. But I heard them, but we weren't ready for yet. And they changed it up, y'all. We had positive, powerful music telling us to stop fighting each other and stop killing. And then it went to take your girl clothes off and money, and money ain't a thing, throw the jewelry up and chasing stuff that mean nothing. It's just to keep us off this, to keep us off this right here. Yeah, you ain't got no reason to be getting taxed. If you understand, you got no reason to be sitting in the prison. If you understand this, go free yourself. Man, you got all the documentation, all this stuff right here. This will free you. Man, you are not Negro, Black, or color. That's what Papa Noble Drew Ali said. You are not Negro, Black, or color, or African, or Ethiopians. Yeah, these names were given to slaves by slaveholders in 1774. Okay? It's a new era of time now, and all men now must be known by their free national name to be recognized by the government in which they live and the nation of the earth. That's what he told the Moors. That's what he came in and told the Moors, divine prophet. Mm-hmm. And I was going to pull it up back here, but you know I could quote that off the head. Yeah, that's in our bylaws. Yeah, that's in our bylaws. Yeah, that's in the Divine Constitution, Act 6. With us, all members must proclaim their nationality, and we are teaching our people their nationality and their divine creed, that they may know that they are part and partial of these state governments, and know that they are not the Negroes, colored folks, Black people, or Ethiopians, because these names were given to slaves by slaveholders in 1779 and lasted until 1865, during the time of slavery. But this is a new era of time now, and all men now must proclaim their free national name to be recognized by the government in which they live and the nations of the earth. This is the reason why Allah, the great God of the universe, ordained Noble Drew Ali, the prophet, to redeem his people from their sinful ways. The Moorish Americans are the descendants of the ancient Moabites, whom inhabited the northwest and the southwestern shores of Africa. And you, by the way, you are living in the north. These are the northwest and the southwestern shores of Africa. What they call Africa, our continent was one name. And before the great earthquake, what they call the great flood, everything was closed together. So you didn't have the Atlantic Ocean. So all this was, we was running around here. That's why this is our dominion, this northwest and southwest Africa right here. And everybody you claim in Jesus, well, Yahushua, guess what? His great-great-grandmother, name was Ruth. She was a Moabitess from the land of Moab. So what? She is Moorish American. That's where Moab from. The more Moorish Americans, Moroccan. Huh? So if you want to be a descendant of something, come on home. Yeah, quit running from it. And we're going to get into some of his hadiths and prophecies after a while. So the United States, the federal government, on September 17, 1787, 11 years after the Declaration of Independence and 9 years after the Articles of Confederation were first proposed, the Constitution for the United States of America was proposed and subsequently sent to the states of the Union for ratification. This document, the U.S. Constitution, upon ratification of 9 states, accomplished by the vote of New Hampshire on June 21, 1788, created the United States government as a federal government with limited, enumerated authority. Without this document, there would be no United States government as we have it today. Neither the U.S. Constitution nor the U.S. government were operational within a state just because 9 states in the Union had ratified the document. Listen. Neither the U.S. Constitution nor the U.S. government were operational within a state just because 9 states in the Union had ratified the document. Only upon its own ratification of this document did the state cede the limited authority to the United States government for this federal government to have even limited authority within that state. So meaning each state had to ratify it and say, okay, we're going to set this document and we're going to give you limited authority in our state to govern us. So what they end up doing, there was those only 9 states then, it was 11, it was only 13, and then it ended up coming to a union, and they just said, hey, to make a more perfect union, shake hands with all 50 states do it. Y'all keep fighting over these Negroes and holding them down physically. Y'all better tighten up, man. Can't put on these white robes no more. We got some new robes now. We made them, man. My girls got, you know, we got the shops up there. We got all the cotton and stuff. We made some new robes now. They black, you know, we sit on the seat now. And the bank, you know, you understand that the judge is sitting on the seat and that the banking system is to the courts. You know, because all that meaning, the banking and the court system, and court means banking, judge means banking, all this stuff. And you go find out that that's the banking system, because that's where all the charges and the bonds and the fees is. So that's why they got the black coal laws with all this stuff. You couldn't bit, bop, or fart. You couldn't go over here. You couldn't do this. Come here, boy. Where you going? What you doing? What you doing, boy? And they put a fine on you. You see? They charge you for everything, you see? Because it's going through this system. But that's what this is about. So it says, only upon its own ratification of this document did the states cede the limited authority to the United States government for this federal government to have even limited authority within that state. Neither were the non-ratifying states permitted to participate in, any federal functions without this ratification. For example, neither North Carolina nor Rhode Island participated in the first presidential election of 1789 because neither state had ratified the U.S. Constitution. North Carolina ratified on November 21, 1789, and Rhode Island ratified on May 29, 1790. Without this ratification, the United States government did not exist for these states, even though they were both members of the American Union pursuant to the Articles of Confederation. So you gotta go get these documents. The U.S. Constitution did not create a central government nor a national government over these 13 nations. The purpose of this new government was to form a more perfect union, not a nation. The words nation and national do not appear in the U.S. Constitution. The word nations, plural, is used twice, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 and 10. But in both instances, it is used in reference to geopolitical powers outside of American society. The U.S. Constitution could not bring into existence a national government because there were already 13 sovereign nations in the American League of Friendship. You need to study that. You need to study the League of Friendship. You need to Google, go get books. You need to get in that Law Library of Congress, get you a subscription and get in them books. Go find out about the League of Friendship, okay? Black's Law Dictionary, revised 4th edition, 6th. See, they keep saying fourth edition, 1968, sets out the distinction between a national government and a federal government at page 1176, to wit. Let me get a little away, Lou. I have to go hit that bathroom again in a second, y'all. National government. The government of a whole nation, as distinguished from that of a local or territorial division of the nation, and also as distinguished from that of a league or confederation. A national government is a government of the people of a single state or nation, united as a community by what is termed the social compact, and possessing complete and perfect supremacy over persons and things, so far as they can be made the lawful objects of civil government. A federal government is distinguished from a national government by its being the government of a community of independent and sovereign states united by compact. Did you catch that? Black's Law Dictionary says that the government formed by a community of states is not a national government. How often we say it wrong. Rather than calling this new government a general government, central government, or national government, the U.S. Constitution does not provide a specific name, title, or style for the new federal government. It would be more accurate to refer to the federal government as a coordinating government. The role of the federal government is to coordinate various responsibility among the states of the union. To this extent and for this purpose only, the states delegated some of their authority to the new government, which is called the United States government by common convention. Yes, they gave them a limited authority. We're going to give y'all a little bit of power now, but y'all can't trump over us now. Your power don't supersede us now. All right. However, they specifically withheld authority from the United States government for those things not specifically delegated to it in the U.S. Constitution and preserved that relationship in the 10th Amendment as part of the Bill of Rights. Yeah, they did. And here you go. Let me give it to you right here. The 10th Amendment, the 9th Amendment, too. The Ninth Amendment says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So what they giving them, they like, what we giving y'all, don't think it means that we don't got our rights and still retain our rights. And then number 10, what they're referring to says, the powers not delegated to the United States, this Amendment 10, 1791, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So whatever ain't in the Constitution or where the states don't give them, then they don't have no authority there. The states and the people retain that, all right? Okay, let's go. Okay. The U.S. Constitution calls for the United States government to provide for a common defense, not a national defense, a common coin, not a national coin, regulation of state commerce to establish post offices and post roads throughout the states, and other things stated in Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. It was given a territory, the District of Columbia, hello y'all, that was separate from the states of the Union because it was to be foreign to the sovereignty of any state and not under the jurisdiction of any single state. See, it was to be sovereign too. The state's capital, this nation, the nation, United States, D.C. Okay, so it wouldn't be in the jurisdiction of the states, and the states don't have their own jurisdiction too. But they authorize and agree on what the United States can do as a whole, all right? Okay. The United States government is to be the agent of the people of the state, see? And it is not the same entity as the United States of America, which is the alliance of American states, see? The United States government was formed to serve the community of American states. So let me go back to read that again. The United States government is to be the agent of the people of the states, and is not the same entity as the United States of America, which is the alliance of American states. Okay? The United States government was formed to serve the community of American states. The People versus Nagley, December 1850, California Supreme Court. In determining the boundaries of apparently conflicting powers between the states and the general government, the proper question is not so much what has been in terms reserved to the states, as what has been expressly or by necessary implication granted by the people to the national government. For each state possesses all the powers of an independent and sovereign nation, except so far as they have been ceded away by the Constitution. The federal government is but the creature of the people of the states, and like an agent appointed for definite and specific purposes, must show an express or necessarily implied authority in the character of its appointment to give validity to its acts. Yeah, you got to show how by what, but so you, that's why I tell them, you got to, hey, what's your delegation of authority? Who gave you authority to act and do what you're doing? You got to show that. You got to show that and prove that when somebody asks for their delegation authority, how they act and all. But who gave you that? You show me that with us in writing. My Congress gave you what authority are you acting? See? And that's in People Ex Rel, Attorney General versus Nagley, 1 California, 234, 1850. And it's still on the book. That's why it's referenced. Supreme Court cases, y'all. The nature of the federal government has not changed as American history marches forward. The U.S. Constitution requires that the federal government is still a government of limited enumerated authority. Federations outside of America. Considering how sophisticated the arrangement between the states and the federal government is, one might easily wonder where the Founding Fathers got their ideas about a federal government that would serve to coordinate common issues among these newly united American nations. For starters, they had to look no further than the mother country. What they call the state of Great Britain in the Declaration of Independence is actually a collection. And y'all, when you're listening to this and you listen to this, look what they talk about, the newly declared American nations and states. So they was new. They was new here. So this is home to people. And I remember they keep tagging people and say Indian. Come on, man. This is not India, y'all. We got to wake up. All right? We got to wake up. So this is not India. And they keep saying Indian. Well, this is not India. Okay? We got Indian. Yeah, we are the originators. So everything is in us. Let's say it that way. And the Canaanites didn't come over here first. You got history before that was here. This the old world. You got history 12,000 years ago here. You got history precedes that. and they all was black people. Melanated black people. And we all lived on the bay. And then there's science everywhere. You can go find out. That's why they keep you out of there. Man. It's still stuff coming out. The prophet know what you already told us. I'm gonna make the European tell the truth. Keep your radio and TV on. And that's where we're going to bring this show to a conclusion today. So I'm going to come back. I'm going to mark that because we got 15 minutes here. And I'll be remiss if I didn't have a show without informing y'all of our illustrious prophet, Noah Drew Ali, born Timothy Drew in 1886 in North Carolina, and came here. Yahushua came again and came here and blessed us. And everybody moving on that. When you see people riding around talking about, I don't need a license to drive, and they flying their flags, they Morris flags, that's us. That's him. Yeah. When you see people running around now and they being sovereign, and they being in themselves now, it's the illustrious prophet that came. So I want you to know, Martin Luther King was Yahushua come again in my eyes. Yeah, all that love he put manifest, all the beatings and stuff they was taking, and it stood still. And it still gave the word, gave us the news we could use, and told us that we was, the black man found himself exiled in his own land, told us that this was our home. Yeah, because the ancients, the ancestors had sprinkled the man. Sprinkle me, man. They sprinkled him with the game. They laced his boots. You feel me? So that's what he came with. Once they laced his boots and he started telling it, bam, that's when they shoot you from the mountaintop. Malcolm went over to Mecca. When he went over to Mecca, when he went over there, bam, they whispered in his ear. He said, I've been hoodwinked and bamboozled. He found out, bam, mountain was dead. You feel me? The noble Drew Ali went over there, Mecca, Egypt. Okay, they sprinkled on him, told him the truth, came over here and laced us, bam. Man, the prophet's gone. So that's how it goes with him. So the prophecies and hadiths of Noah Drew Ali, okay? The Moorish Americans are a true nation of people. He said, I forgive you of everything that you did before I came. Now you are responsible for your deeds now, okay? He brought us our free national name. He brought us our true religion with our way of life. We don't call it religion. He taught us that we're true citizens. And so we wouldn't be under the slave tax coming out of the Negro Act. The Holy Prophet Drew Ali told the Moors, I brought you everything it takes to save a nation. Now take it and save yourself. But what did he bring us? He brought us about a flag, a national name, our free national name, an emblem, a constitution, our land, our family heritage, just things that Negroes and blacks don't have. It just passed for a whole 28 days, and you didn't hear none of that. So these are saving powers. And for people. Now, okay, so that's what he said. Take them and save yourself. Okay? He said, by you being born here doesn't make you a citizen. That's what people keep thinking. It says Negro, blacks, and colored people are names given to slaves during the time of slavery. Those born under the powers of the 14th and 15th Amendment are not true citizens, but are declared persons, commercial property, under the assumable jurisdiction of U.S. Congress. The word persons, as used in these amendments, do not illegally translate into men and women. I attest to that. The prophet said, Moors, be yourself. To be yourself is to be Moorish American, a true nation of people bearing your one free national name. I'm reading excerpts from a book called Noble Drew Ali, The Exhumant of a Nation, through Sheikh Elihu in Pleasant Bay. A good book. You read this from the end, a good read. And also, y'all, check out RV Bay Publications for a lot of civics and history, historical truths through the Moors. Amen. Beautiful pamphlets. They be short and sweet, and they cheap and priceless. I don't know, when I say cheap, you can't put a price on what you're getting in here, but they're affordable, I say that. Affordable. You spend $40, you'll get a bunch of books and it'll wake your game up. And also, man, check out the brother, the young black mayor out of Oklahoma, man. Go to Black Towns Without Solutions. Check out the brother, check him out on TikTok and stuff, the young black mayor. Man, he got some stuff at youngblackmayor.com. He got some stuff going on, man. To all the black towns in Oklahoma, you know, that's where they worked to walk the five civilized tribes over and gave land to. And it's a big difference in claiming your land, your heritage. Man, you got so much coming to you. As far as you get from under these tags, man, you get them prison sentences off you and all that type of stuff. And they can't put you under them same laws and stuff, you know. All right. He says, more study yourself. The more, and then it says, the Moors must study self to know self and know self in order to be yourself. He said, a beggar nation cannot attain to its highest degree of spirituality. He says, imitate I, the prophet. The Moorish leaders live a life of love so that you will be loved as I, the prophet, is loved. Okay. He said, in the year 2000, the Moors will come into their own. He says, one day when seven bridges cross the sky, there will be red fezes and turbans far as the eyes can see. He said, I had to go around my elbow to get to my thumb to get what I wanted established in this government. Okay. That he wanted to establish the divine and national movement in North America and to save his people from the wrath of Allah. The Holy Prophet had to go through the fire, the United States assumable laws of jurisdiction, in order to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Told us that we wasn't Negro, blacks, and colors. That was breaking the Roman law right there, the Roman yoke, y'all. The Prophet said the only way out of the fire is through the fire. The only way out of slavery is through the very laws that enslave you. Okay. He said, you are from Missouri. I have the God to show you. He says, by 1928, the Moors had endured such a mental beatdown here in the West until they did not believe they are a nation of people. So Noble Drew Ali went to Pan American Conference in Havana, Cuba, and declared them as a clean and pure nation before the United States and other national and tribal delegates in attendance. He says, we need to have warehouses because one day the Europeans are going to let you down. Look what happened with COVID. Look how the stores, they had police in front of them. They had National Guards around. You just couldn't even go to the banks and get all your money. They tell you how much they wanted you to get out. Okay, he says, some of you Moors are going to throw away your name just for a morsel of bread. He says, about America and the European. He said, before the European came here, the bananas were large and the grapes were four in hand. It took two men with hand sticks to carry one bunch of grapes. Man, I bear witness that when I was young, it was like the Garden of Eden running around. Man, running around, it was so many fruit trees, pomegranates, fig trees, almond trees, walnut trees, locust trees. Oh, man, you name it. Cherry trees, man, plum trees. They was all around. Lemon trees, orange trees. Oh, that was normal. Man, some of them old pomegranates. You know what I'm talking about? Pomegranates and locusts. Man, so many trees. That's what he said. The Moors were living up and down the Mississippi River before the European man came here. See, now the history coming out and showing to northwestern Mexico, Africa, later to be named America. The prophet said, if you don't believe I'm a prophet, watch my prophecy. If you died, was born in 1886, passed form in 1929. So we're talking about 90 plus years ago. He said, the Europeans went to the Moroccan government and asked for permission to come over here to northwestern Mexico to develop this land. They were given a 50-year mandate to do so. Then the Europeans went to the old sheikh and asked him to give them some people to help them to develop this land. The sheikh told them to take those Moors because they are not going to do anything. He says, the European is going to have to pay our people off for the work that they did in slavery and pay off in compounded interest. He says, one day the Europeans are going to lock the food up in warehouses, put soldiers around them to guard them, and you will go anywhere, he says, to get something to eat. That we living on that. One day you will go to the store and there will be soldiers there with guns, with bayonets on them, and they will not let you enter. They will order you to move on. We living on that. Check, check. One day the European is going to let you down. You are going to have to put up a 90-day supply of food to last you until your brothers come to your rescue from the east. Okay, now. Listen, okay. He said, one day you are going to smell the Europeans before you see them in boxcars going back to Europe. The European will not be able to remove all the wealth from the land. After he goes back to Europe, mountains of gold will be revealed to the Moors. When the Europeans go back to Europe, the climate will go back to what it used to be. He says, I like good peas and beans. I'm going to save 8% of the Europeans because they are good farmers. He says, if the European be just, they would have an Asiatic vice president. And if they had an Asiatic president, they would have a European vice president. He says, one day your biggest problem won't be getting with European women. It will be fighting them off. Check. He says, get a good European education. I can use you. See, we learn all the stuff in Pharaoh's house, and then we go on to rule for ourselves. Man, Joseph, y'all, we Joseph. We got to wake up. Children, when you get on top, treat the Europeans nice. The European is our fellow man, okay? He said, I am going to make the Europeans enforce my law. It says, the duty of a prophet is to save nations from the wrath of Allah. The Holy Prophet brought the Moors their nationality and their divine creed so they can be law-abiding, and he is going to make the Europeans enforce these national and divine principles. There's a lot of stuff he left, a lot of hadiths. Divine warnings and prophecies. For the various lynchings and murders that were committed in the South is going to have to pay off and pay off in blood. If you have people in the South, get them out, because that is where destruction is going to start. The times that have been won't be no more. Look at the destruction and the weather patterns in the South for the last 10 years. Just look. Just look at the pattern. This was 90-some years ago. The times have been won't be no more. Every word that I speak is spirit, and you Moors had better heed. He said, look around, and where you see people, one day wild animals will be roaming down the streets. When the fire comes, I will be the water. He said, don't endanger your life with fools. One day, every will of industry is going to stop, and when they start up again, it will be in the Asiatic's favor. He says, the Moors were once a seafaring people and fed the world. The time is going to come when we will go back and feed the world again. That reminds me when Muammar Gaddafi said, the blacks in America will rule the world again. Man, why would he say that? He said, the blacks in America are going to rule the world again, once again. Why would he say that? Unless you ruled before, but you didn't rule under black. But he was just letting you know to wake your game up. But bam, he was dead. See, you say key things in a row, bam, then you did. You get learn two key knowledge, bam. But the spirit leaves on because somebody else talking it right now. Hello. He says, when I raise my floodgate, it's going to take 16 secretaries to write down the names. Some of the time when they come, when the Moors will start coming in. He said, I was given a high name over there, talking about in Mecca, but you cannot use it over here. Be good, Moors, and I will hand it down to you. He arrived in Arabia as an angel, Muslim, from Egypt. There in the holy city of Mecca, he, Timothy Drew, was given the holy attribute through the head of the holy city, Sultan Abdul Aziz Abu Sa'ad, a direct descendant of Hagar, who named him El-Hajj Sharif Abdul Ali. Study that name. He says, one day blood is going to flow in the streets up to a horse's brow. One day bombs are going to fall so that they won't miss a spot as wide as my shoe. You are going to need a basement to hide in. Check. Man, this is a prophet right here. This 90-some years ago. This is a prophet right here. He said, if you don't believe I'm a prophet, watch my prophecies. Man. He said, one day people are going to be so hungry that the only way that you will be able to turn them away will be at the point of a gun. The Walking Dead, people think it's not going to happen. Okay. I have mended the broken wires and have connected to them with the higher powers. Okay. He said, there are going to be new Moors that are going to come in with eyes wide open, seeing and knowing, that are going to take you old Moors, seat you in the back, and carry out my law. Peace. That's right. I can throw out spirit that would make the Moors want to fight, and then throw out another spirit that would bring them back to peace. He says, the climate is going to change. The cold weather will be in the south, and the warm weather will be in the north. Check. I brought you your nationality, your religion, entitled to your vast estate. What do you want me to do? Kill you? He said, money will burn in the streets, and we won't be able to buy much. And when I put my spirit in the streets, you won't be able to sell your car for 25 cents. He said, the Moors once ruled the world. Now get ready to rule it again. But this time it's going to be done under love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. One day all property is going back to the government. He says, if someone assaults you, flee from him. If you cannot flee from him, turn around and drop the world or him. And he says, we are going to be taxed to death. Check. If you are not careful, your own brothers will try to put you in slavery. Check. Back into slavery again. He says, at the end of time, those that will be in the apparatus will be able to look down on earth, see people that you know fleeing for their life. You are going to be saved, but in a conflict that cannot be told in words. I could tell you some things that would turn your brain to water. I'm going to save you all if I have to kill you all. He says, if I cannot teach you here, I would teach you on the soul plane. I have come and taken away all the excuses. If you do not leave here right with me this time, you won't make it back here in human form. He says, Atlantis is going to rise again. Man, so yeah, he has a lot of prophecy. I could go on and on. There's a lot of them in here. A lot of them that became true. A lot of them will come to pass. A lot of them the Europeans starting to tell about right now. We the ATLans, the lost ATLans. We'll go on into But you need to study Noble Drew Ali, not from, you know, from different perspectives. Go find out his life, teachings, his working, what he went through, what he studied, what he went through. Because Jesus did come. Who are you looking for? Somebody physically from 2,000 years ago? The world don't work like that. When the physical is gone, the physical is gone. But the spirit is God, and God is truth, and the spirit lives on. It has no beginning, no ending, and people come back reincarnated through that. The spirit of truth lives on through each one of us, brothers and sisters. So that's what we got to do. Don't forget to check us out. We got to 90 seconds. Don't forget to follow us at Instagram at the Legal Empowerment Group and LegalEmpowermentGroup101.com. And check me out at SulimanBay77 at TikTok and BaySuliman at Instagram, because I'll be dropping little short little things to keep you in tune and tighten up, man, so you don't have to be taxed to death. And follow us also at healthy.info. That's health-e-a-l-t-8.info for the donations. Hey, we appreciate you. We're going to get to the places where we need to, both in California and Texas, and help us expand, y'all. When you give to people, it comes back in return, the law of reciprocation. So we thank y'all. Peace and love. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Shalom. Tap back in when you can. Thanks a lot.